I did have a phone call with DOCR Director Colby Brown. He actually reached out to me last week Wednesday, so I mean, I guess credit him for reaching out and having a conversation on this issue. But, you know, when I questioned him about Mr. Manitowabi's release and didn't appear to get the full 2 years in, he walked through their timeline and said that with a good time that he had apparently gained while in prison, whatever rule or law they follow, that he said they were statutorily required to release him at his 85% sentence, which was April of 2025, which was certainly 4 months shy of the 2 year sentence he got, which, you know, I don't know their rules or where that, I couldn't find that statutory language, but obviously that's what they're, you know, they're following. So I'm not sure about that part, but a little disconcerting to say the least on the whole process.
Yeah, here's my question on what does good time mean? My understanding is they negotiate the good time early release on day one and sort of bake it into the cake. I think that whole thing needs reform. Again, you have someone that is a frequent flyer, been arrested and convicted of an offense once. Then again, a second time, violent crime. He's given 2 years, as you said. Let him out early. Then he reoffends. You know, I'd like to know at what point you say, you know, there's no such thing as good time. We got a violent offender, right?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of find it interesting because, I mean, sarcastically, apparently the only place you can behave is in prison. But, you know, it just doesn't seem correct or right, that approach. And the other gap that we identified in discussing this, because we had no idea that this guy was in our city, had been released from prison because there was no parole or probation attached. And apparently there's a lot of people being released from our state prison that are in that exact same position. And communities, police departments aren't aware of it. That's not part of their notification process. So we talked about this, and I said, hey, we would really request, love to be notified of any person you're releasing that's returning to our city so that we can get that information. We've got a robust intelligence and analysis unit that can push that info out to our cops, so that we have some familiarity. I mean, they're not going to remember everybody. But, boy, it's really nice to know that next week, you know, Joe Blow is going to be getting out of prison and we can check his background and find out that he's assaulted, he's been involved in robberies or whatever it is. That gives that situational awareness to our cops because currently, if they're not on parole or probation, we don't get any notice.
Which seems to be about as basic as you could get to have communication with law enforcement that, hey, got a violent offender. He's offended in your community before. He's coming back out, you know. Just
right.
How hard is that?
It should be standard practice, I would think, for sure. I know in other places I've seen it is. But I guess, you know, I'm happy if they start doing that because I think that's pretty important. And no one here really realized that that was going on. And I think we'll probably be surprised about how many people are popping back in from prison at various times. I mean, this guy didn't make it 6 weeks before he got, you know, got himself into another situation, and he reacted just like he's done in all of his other previous convictions, violently, you know, feloniously, and resisting police, and just a disregard for public safety, and using drugs.
Well, one thing we're going to do is track very closely what sentence is recommended from the state's attorney here, what kind of sentence he gets, and how long of that sentence, you know, this good time. There just needs to be a lot of transparency to the Department of Corrections and Rehab. There's no doubt about it, and they've got to constituency in the legislature that just goes along with anything they say, despite the fact that violent crimes are up. If you fairly go say, what is a violent crime, and track that, they are up. And I would argue the sentences are not enough, and the good time and all the other little games they play with transitional housing to say they served a sentence is in need of reform. For violent offenders, to me, that number should be 100%, not 85% of the sentence. So
yeah.
It's a battle. It's something law enforcement asked for in the last legislative session, so we just got to stay at it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we'll just keep trying to move that ball. But, yeah, certainly I think some changes are needed. The other thing of interest really is, you know, it'll be really interesting to see what the sentencing report was on this individual with his prior felonies and violent record. How does he end up with, like, it's got to be the minimal amount he could have possibly gotten in 2 years. I mean, I don't understand how any legitimate, objective sentencing report could lead someone to that conclusion. I'm sure that, you know, the judge in the case has their reasons for making that decision. But, man, when you look at his priors and his conduct, I really find it hard to imagine why he ended up with that minimal sentence.
By the way, one of the arguments that they make at the Departments of Corrections and Rehab is that there's just not the jail space. We've got to let him out regardless. Again, all we're asking for is to distinguish violent offenders differently. But what about the jail space concern? I know that there is a discussion right now in Cass County Jail for housing prisoners. By the way, do you plan on cutting a deal with them? Will there be a deal with Cass County so the Fargo Police Department has access to that as well?
Yeah, well, and I'm sure we will cut a deal. I mean, we don't really have a lot of options. Where else can we take our prisoners? The big hanging point from our perspective was the jail, the sheriff's office unwillingness to handle our ITV, which is our electronic municipal court. And so what currently happens, which I think is a huge safety issue for our officers and costs a lot of money and overtime and takes cops off the street, is that when municipal court runs and the person's in the county jail, it's their prisoner, they have facilities there because they do this for district court. The sheriff's office personnel will take people from their cells, bring them into the ITV room, and have their appearance through ITV for district court. It's the same process for municipal court, but they've refused to do it because they say they don't have enough staff. And so we have to pay people overtime or pull them off the street to conduct those activities. Now, while they're in the county jail, our officers don't have communication. They don't have control. They're in there with a bunch of prisoners with no weapons, of course, because that's a jail environment. Everyone understands that. And this is, you know, something bad is going to happen here at some point. And we always have to have two cops. So that's two on overtime or off the street. When it's, you know, it could be, to me, a simple staffing equation. This is something that they do routinely in other areas. They've hired a bunch of people for the new jail wing. And I just would really hope that the sheriff's office would figure out a way to staff that piece so that we don't have to keep sending cops in there and put them in those positions. That's the hang up.